Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. And this is Kayleen Welsh. And I am here with a very interesting person today. And I'm very glad that he's here to talk with me. His Grant, welcome. Grant Hicks, Grant Gentry Hicks, is, I guess I met Grant a few years back. I was at an event and somehow we resonated. But we never really have had a whole lot of opportunity to talk until I listened to Grant talk on a radio program. Again, this was probably 2 years ago or so. Maybe I don't even remember when that was. But what Grant was talking about on that program was his understanding of the dimensions and our place in them. And I mean, I could tell that if he was approaching this from this scientific place that I was so totally intrigued by. So anyway, just the last number of weeks, Grant and I have reconnected again, and I've had the opportunity to have a couple conversations with him, and he's working on some materials and getting his message out, and I'm just so pleased to have the opportunity to learn from you, Grant, and to hear a little bit more about the work you're doing and what you got going on. So thanks for coming on Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh.
Thank you, Kayleen. It's such a pleasure to be here, and we were talking about different ways to, I was always fascinated by the dimensions. I studied math and philosophy and Chinese medicine and psychology and religion. I spent a lot of time exploring different fields and wanting to understand what are these dimensions and how can we access them? What does it mean? You know, when I was little, I was just fascinated by the idea that something could just appear out of another dimension, and if we saw it, we would only see a dim reflection of what it truly was, because we can only see it from our limited framework and ways to, what is this mystery? What are these invisible beings, or what is happening in this invisible world that we can't really see? How can we come to understand that and expand our connection, understanding with that? That has been a big excitement focus of that I worked on for a long time.
So it seems like this attempt to understand the universe in a greater way has been a lifelong journey for you.
Oh, definitely.
And now it feels like it's coming together, or you've put it together. You're finding a way to condense it, so should we say, or like step it down some kind of way, what you're putting together?
I've written this book, which is an enhanced support for the deck that I've made. And the whole purpose of the deck and the book is to help people access this broader seven-dimensional structure and see how it works. And if you can look and play with the cards, if you can see how it's laid out in the book, it helps to make sense of it.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. So the book, first of all, is called The Magic Infinity Book.
Yes.
And that's just out now on Amazon. It's available now. Yay. So that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, I don't know. I read a statistic once about the number of people that want to write a book, but the number of people that actually write a book. And there's a really big difference. So it's a big deal that you were able to pull that all together. And it sounds like, okay, just let's take the title, Magic Infinity Book. Can you explain or talk a little bit about how you came up with that title?
Yes. So specifically infinity, the book has, or the deck has, seven different levels of infinity. Eight if you include the zeroth level. So we're used to thinking of infinity as just sort of beyond. It's infinity. What does it mean?
To infinity and beyond. That's where we go, right?
But through the deck, you can understand the natural outlay of number. That just, for example, the simplest level of infinity that we're familiar with is if I just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and just kept doing that as long as I would ever want to, there's an infinite number of numbers available. 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, I can never get too big of a number. But then, let's say I wanted to go into negative numbers. Well, there is no negative numbers in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the way I've done it in my deck is all of the counting numbers, that's the first level of infinity. Then when I want to go in another direction, include my negative, now I've got two directions of infinity. Positive infinity and negative infinity. So that's the second level that has two directions of infinity. Then I proceed through the numbers levels in the deck, where you can see that each new group of numbers holds another level of infinity available in it.
And so when you use the word infinity, is that like equal to dimension, or where does that, am I?
So at the first dimension, which we're going to include, if we talk about in terms of number, if you think about it just as a ray, like it starts at a point and has one direction.
Uh-huh.
That's what the counting numbers do. You start at zero and you just go in one direction. One, two, three, four, five. So I could think of that arrow being both a layout of a potentially infinite amount of numbers and a length, which is one of the dimensions that we're familiar with in school.
Okay. All right. So this is where, oh boy, it gets complicated, doesn't it, Grant? I don't even know. I was telling Grant earlier as we've been talking, I don't have a scientific brain. And so trying to conceptualize, and yet just even in this bit that we've been talking about, I'm understanding, a new awareness of infinity, of dimensions, and how the pieces fit. And so I think that's, that it, would you say, is that kind of like the goal of the book? What is the goal of the book for you?
That's one of the big goals of the book, is to help make this higher dimensional picture accessible, available, something we could all be on a common universal platform on to all speak about it. So when people are saying the ascension's coming through the 5D, does anyone know what we're really saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is there? It's hard to understand what we're saying. It's just an idea, but what is it connected to? How can I connect to it? How would I know if I've reached the fifth dimension? What would it even mean? And so my goal is to try to make a context where it's pretty clear what that means and how to understand it in a solid, concrete way from a foundational level, or just in a way to connect to it consciously from an experiential level.
Well, I appreciate that, because I think, you know, I hear a lot of conversation. There's an awful lot of conversation now as far as the planet, you know, rising into the fifth dimension. We're all moving into the fifth dimension. And I don't think people understand at all what that really even means. So, I mean, is this a place to talk about that a little bit more, or should we go
more? Well, I wanted to say about a little bit more about the magic infinity, just where that comes from, but I also want to, I think we can address that pretty quickly, that question. So just briefly to finish the first question, which was, I feel a connection with the Magi, who are the ones who are said to give Jesus the, you know, special frankincense, gold, and myrrh, but there's a whole lineage of the Magi who were priests of Zoroaster, who was connected right to the god, the Ahura Mazda, the god in the sky. So there's a long tradition of being very connected to divine, the source of divinity, to God incarnate, and they're being chanting magic words. The word magic comes from the Magi.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they doing with their spells? Well, they were given sacred prayers, and they knew the power in the word, and you could do a lot of things by just speaking it. And there was a deep understanding of this that was given. There's a long history of this. Anyway, I relate to this long wisdom tradition of the Magi and of what it's going to take to help get people's consciousness, who are ready for it, more ignited, more inspired, expanded enough to be able to apprehend a bigger picture and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The people in the Magi tradition, or the alchemical tradition, the genius lines, there's lots of people who knew that there's all kinds of higher level consciousness we could be accessing, our culture could support it, but it doesn't. So I'm trying to make a product, make a map, make a platform that once you see it, you go, wow, this is just so much better than what was available. All these things fitting in one pretty picture, right in one place.
Mm-hmm. Well, somewhere along the line, it seems like we wiped out or, disregarded the whole magic line, the wisdom line.
The church cut it out.
Yeah.
There was so much torture. A lot of geniuses were tortured. Yeah. Galileo, Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake. There was a lot of great geniuses who were either put in jail or tortured for having ideas.
I got to say, I think I've gotten focused a little bit on the feminine side of that and thought about all the witches that were burned and the healers that were killed. But there was a masculine line in that also, I think, with the magi.
Yes, with the super geniuses. A lot of the super geniuses were too big of a threat to the power authority, and so they'd be wiped out, and people were made to be afraid of them.
So coming back to a world where we are both tuning in and allowing or recognizing, embracing the magic, as well as using that to understand the greater story.
Yes. So with the keys from the Magi line, you create a real magic that's not just a trick. It's actually, if you're aligning with the fundamental patterns, what we would think of as magical effects can happen. Where that, like, how did that pattern so perfectly match what we were looking for? It's like magic, but it's not. It's actually just so fundamentally aligned. So then you see the pattern and you can understand it.
Well, and when I hear the word pattern, I think like orderly universe. I think there is a plan or an order or a sense that we can make out of all of this mystery. Whether that takes us to complete understanding, or I think it just kind of continues to blow my mind. But at the same time, it gives us an awareness that there is a framework.
Yes. Yes, and I'm wanting to provide that. And you specifically, you asked about the fifth dimension, because we talked about ascending to the 5D. And I feel like I have a pretty good clarity, and I put it in the talk, you know, how do we really understand that? But briefly, in the podcast, you and I were talking about the foundation of what the three dimensions are. People say we live in a 3D world. And one of the ways of understanding that in a way that anyone can understand is through that analogy, or not analogy, but just the way we measure our, you know, on the maps for our car. We get a GPS, the satellites. We know, everybody's used to this idea now. And when you get a GPS measurement, you're getting usually two numbers, latitude and longitude. And so those are two dimensions. And then the third dimension is elevation, because you could have two people stacked up on top of each other and they'd both get the same GPS reading.
As far as latitude and longitude.
As far as latitude and longitude. But if you wanted to go deep into the ground or up into the... You need another dimension to determine where that is. And with just those three numbers, latitude, longitude, and elevation, every single person, every single point on the earth has only one set of three numbers that match it. So the earth surface is mapped in 3D. Both where anybody could be, unless you... The only way you could start coming out of that is if you were to fly a satellite or fly a ship out to different part of the solar system or beyond, then you're kind of coming out of that 3D spectrum because it no longer holds, because now you're over there far from the planet, and it really is meant to be a planetary. If you live on the surface of a sphere, you need three numbers to figure out where you're at. So I like to give this analogy about, you know, I'll say, well, what's the fourth dimension? And a lot of people understand and will say time. Because that's what Einstein helped bring in, was that the space-time continuum is four dimensions. Three that are made of space and one that's made of this thing called time. And usually we think of time as different, somehow different from the other dimensions. You know, latitude, longitude, and elevation, I can measure those in degrees or in feet or meters. But time, we don't use degrees or meters. So how could I have time be measured in degrees or meters? And the way to do that is, if you can imagine, I was given the analogy that me and Kayleen, we're going to do this podcast for a week straight. We're just going to keep having this talk, and we just love it so much, and we've just having such a great time, and somebody else could come and say, where have y'all been? We said, well, we've been in the same place for a week. The three, latitude, longitude, and elevation, have not changed. The only thing that changes is this abstract idea of time. Like, my watch moved, and it's a different date. But what does that mean? Like, we're just measuring it by the calendar. Well, if we had a friend that could go and sit on the surface of the sun in a force field, I know that's a stretch, we don't have this technology yet, but it's easy to imagine that a person could sit there in a force field and look. And if they were sitting there for a week, they would say, no, you have not been in the same place the whole time. You have moved along the orbit. And each day of the calendar is about 1/365 of the whole orbit of the Earth around the sun. So you'll have moved 7 spots during that week, and we will be in a different position relative to the person watching us. And if they wanted to describe where we are exactly, they would need 4 numbers. They would need latitude, longitude, and elevation, and where the Earth is in the orbit. Mm-hmm. And that would give the 4 numbers you need to describe the position uniquely. Mm-hmm. So when you do it that way, now time is measured in degrees or in meters, because you moved a certain number of either degrees in the circle or meters from where you were to where you are now. And so time stops being an abstract idea and becomes more of a physical place. So that's just one way to approach time, but I like that analogy, because then the 4 numbers, the 4 dimensions, make sense.
Yes, it keeps adding. I mean, it's helping me understand what comes in to add the next dimension.
Yeah, so what let's say we wanted to expand that, what do you notice?
Oh boy, Grant. Okay, so what do I notice about that? That it just gets more complicated all the time, and time is, I don't know what I want to come up with there.
Okay, so I want you to imagine for a second that we saw that if the Earth is the center of our perspective, we just need 3 numbers to describe where.
So, but if we add outer space,
if we go to the sun now, we're going to need 4 numbers. We could take the whole solar system, which we know is not just sitting in the middle of nothing, not moving.
Do we know that?
We do.
I believe that too. But I think it's just one of those things we take so for granted. It just sits out there.
It just hasn't even caught up to people's understanding that we're actually, the sun is not just sitting there. It's not like these orbits, you know, the way we were taught in school, the planets just go around the sun, and the sun apparently doesn't move. But of course the sun's moving. It's moving in the big arc of the galactic, plane. There's this big spiral arm that we're way out on, and through the course of time, that moves relative to the galactic center, the black hole at the center of our galaxy, which we've only known about for a few decades. So the ancients did not know about this. So this is one of the interesting ways where we can now talk easily about something that they just didn't know. They didn't know about the galaxy. They didn't understand that we're in it in this way. So if I were sitting at the edge of the black hole at the center of our galaxy, and I wanted to describe where we are uniquely in the galaxy, if I knew the 3 dimensions of where we are on the Earth, the 4th dimension, where we are relative to the sun, and the 5th number being where is our whole solar system relative to the center of the galaxy, now with 5 numbers, I can pinpoint any of the objects in the whole galaxy. And I just need 5 numbers to do that, which is a way of understanding 5th dimension.
Uh-huh. It's crazy to me, because it just feels like, wow, that just feels like that's way out there. And so where does 6th and 7th take us? But I want to, before we would even maybe consider that, I'd like to think a little bit about then, okay, as we access this fifth dimension, what does that do for humankind? Can you talk to that? What is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, at first, it gives us a way to simply access and understand the meanings of the words in terms of, I'm going to need five physical numbers, and those numbers are going to actually measure something, and those measurements give me a location relative to another place. That is the most concrete way to think about the dimensions. So when I talk about this fifth dimension or fifth number about where our solar system is to the galaxy, just that is mind expanding. It expands our imagination. For a lot of people, they're just used to thinking and beholding the immediate environment, what they can see, feel, and touch. But with the imagination and recognizing, oh, it's not that big a jump to realize that we're on this ball spinning around a star, which is itself in a giant field of stars, which is itself in a giant field of galaxies. You know, that helps break the spell of we're just isolated on a rock with no connection to the rest of the universe or galaxy. None of that matters because we can't connect to it anyway. Whereas if we start to understand, no, we're already in the galaxy now. We're already being intervened on by galactic forces and other galactic civilizations. And this is part of the unveiling, is that the Space Brothers and Sisters are already helping us on a lot of level. We're getting ready as a human civilization to enter into the Galactic Federation. And we're going to be able to have more galactic connections with all these other races that have been intervening with us for a long time. This is part of the big secret.
Is that part of us even, is it, when we think of like that lift into the fifth dimension, I think that's one of the things that people have talked about. Increased, I don't know, people talk like through the veil, but increased alien connection or increased almost like spiritual understanding, different energies that we're able to be accessing.
Well, if we think of them as alien, if we think of ourselves as just being on this little rock.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think of ourselves as being neighbors within the galactic framework, well, here's our civilization within the galactic framework. Here's another Pleiadian or Sirian, other which have actually intervened a lot on what's made our civilization. But we can at least be neighbors then. Like, oh, there's your beautiful civilization, here's mine, let's talk and let's visit, instead of it being we're the only one and you're the alien.
Yeah,
starts to be
thank you for saying that, because I mean, I think right now we're having trouble even as a planet liking our neighbors.
The guy across the street,
exactly.
Can't even relate to him.
Yeah. So I mean, the idea of opening up this idea, and yet even as we struggle with maybe our neighbor, we have to recognize we're one planet, one humanity.
Yes.
I mean, we need each other.
Yes.
We're in this together.
Yes.
And so it's pretty fun to think, actually, for me to think about connecting with a wider neighborhood.
Yes. And when a person realizes, like, oh my God, there's these other civilizations, to me, that's the kind of orienting unification that stops you from being so worried about the Russians, or stops you from being just so worried about those people who vote blue, or whatever the enemy is, that suddenly it kind of expands and includes, and like, are we really going to be so concerned that they have a slightly different idea than we do about what's important? That's why we're going to treat them poorly or dismiss them. Really, we should be celebrating that they have a slightly different idea, and it takes all of us to have slightly different ideas to create a diverse and beautiful world.
Cal, I hope that there's an awareness of that that's coming. And anyway, maybe that's part of our expansion. I think we have to look at some of the ways that we've been limiting ourselves in order to be able to recognize that there is a bigger picture.
Yes.
You know, I want to go back to your book, and I want to go back to this material, because you've done a great job of helping me understand how this comes back into, I want to say, tangible awareness.
Yes.
And I know, or I'll ask you to explain a little bit more then, how you've laid this all out, how you've connected several dots. because the fields that you talk about and the way that there's a correlation, because I remember when I listened to your conversation on the first radio show that caught my attention, one of the things that you talked about that caught my ear was this connection of the fourth dimension with the heart.
Yes.
And so as you talk about these different dimensions, can you expound a little bit on like each one then, or there's different aspects?
When I realized that there was a connection between our chakra system and the outlay of the universe, for example, or how numbers work, I didn't expect to find that.
So you find correlations between several different
fields.
Okay.
So I've got the heavenly bodies aligned in the seven-dimensional structure. I've got number aligned in the seven-dimensional structure. The chakras are already lined up in a seven-different level structure, already laid out with different frequencies, like the crown chakra with the violet frequency. It's the highest frequency, and the root is the longest wavelength, but sort of slowest frequency. And it's natural to think about it that way. So most people are aware of first, second, and third dimensional drives, which is survival, sex, money, family, immediate. Am I going to have what I need for myself? I got to have the money. I got to have the show, you know, just the lower levels of Maslow's hierarchy. But then, if you only live in those three dimensions, if you only live in your what effectively is your belly, your butt.
Yeah, the lower three chakras.
Just your lower part of your body, you're going to be driven by base drives of what can I get for myself? I am this separated being out here and everybody is out there, over there, and they might try to take something from me. That's separation consciousness. The heart. So that separation consciousness being defined at the three-dimensional level. If I make a three-dimensional box, it sits here, apart from everything else. But in my heart, there starts to be a bridge between I'm here and I know you're there, but when we connect heart to heart, it no longer feels like you're over there. You're right here with me. We're here together. So we talk about the heart being, the fourth dimension being time. I say, well, how does that relate to the fourth level being heart? Well, it's the fourth chakra.
It's the ticker.
It's the ticker that creates the motion, that creates the time. The heartbeat is very close to a second. It's the nature of, it's our natural understanding of a second. Heartbeat is, it's not exactly a second, but it's pretty close. So there's already a time measure built into the function of the heart, and it transcends the separation consciousness of the lower three dimensions and gives people a way to understand and access something greater that the love can show us that our physical, analytical minds and separated minds can't show us. If we're only got those three levels, we're going to be selfish by nature. It's going to be stupid to help somebody else out because they could cut my hand off or whatever. It's not until you hit the heart, which is the next level up, to where we can, you know, that would hurt me if I did that. I don't want to hurt somebody else. But a lot of people clearly, they're not in their hearts.
Yeah.
And their empathy and their compassion is really kind of broken down. And that leaves them vulnerable to fear. They think they're protected, but it's like they're just in a bunker.
Well, I think about that with the, like in psychological help, but those are where the negative emotions reside. The traumas even get stored, and until people can lift it up through a heart space somehow, that's where they stay stuck.
Yes.
So, okay. So that's very cool to think about, actually. And then, so this fourth dimension is really what pulls us up into our heart space. Or when we pull up into our heart space or heal these lower...
It starts level, to take us out of the separation consciousness and into a connected consciousness.
A much bigger picture.
Yes.
I was intrigued then following up in that same program, but you talked then about the fifth dimension, which then connects us, lifts us up into the throat chakra.
Yes. So now the nature of vibration, you know, the heart vibration is bup, 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 might speed up a little bit, might slow down a little bit, might become a little bit irregular if there's a threat. But what I can do with my voice is just in, there's just no end to the variation and this pitch and variety of the music and things I can say. It's a whole nother level of vibration that can be expressed.
Well, in creation.
Yes.
How's that go? The world is created by sound.
Yeah, in the beginning was the word.
Uh-huh,
the word.
Right. I think a lot about the throat in relation to, for women, I guess I think that's where many of us hold in. It's in, and I guess I feel like that connection, that if we aren't able to open our throat, then we can't let anything, our power center gets compromised.
Yes.
And so, you know, thinking about the history of humanity and how this all kind of plays out, because it feels like we're learning, we're rising.
Slow evolution. Slowly, we're all getting there.
You know, we're getting there. You know, some of us have got that heart space a little bit more than some others. Some of us are hearing this throat spot a little bit more, which again, I think is our creative ability. This is where we bring forth a lot of who we are. But, and yeah, looking at the history of humanity, women have really held it in, or at least the feminine voice has been held. And, you know, we feel it in the jaw, hold it in our jaw. So and that thyroid disease, I think that's a modern, you know, disease related to, you know, where we're at. Is this about, you know, as we're opening up these things, we have to deal with some of the things that have blocked?
Yes. And the conditioning patterns don't want the female voice to rise. Like, if the females rose together, we wouldn't be killing each other like this.
Yeah.
It's for the children. We should be lying together for all of the children.
Yeah.
Is that really that big of a shocker idea? Well, for women, it's not. That, of course we should be doing this for the children. But that's not the forces that are governing our system. They're clearly not valuing the children first. And I think if the women's voices were more powerful, that would start to happen, and it would threaten all these power control agendas.
Yeah. Well, anybody that listens to me very much knows that I talk a lot about the emerging feminine. And I don't mean anything gender related. I mean everything related to the qualities of the feminine principle that have been disregarded or repressed for a very long time.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess I'm grateful, and I love the idea of moving into the fifth dimension, where hopefully that throat center becomes more activated or open or free for people to express.
Yes, and aligned with their souls of who they really are. When a person is aligned with who they really are, it provides vitality, it breaks some of the control patterns, it gives more strength, and there's a feeling of like, oh, I don't know where I've been, but I'm glad I'm here now. Mm-hmm. I can actually feel myself, and there's an excitement that comes when people really tap into that part of themselves, the authentic, true reality. But the world around is not trying to do that.
Right.
It seems to have no interest or care in a person really coming from who they really are and how they really feel and where they're really at. It's like a game to lie and pretend so nobody knows where you're really at.
Wear a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't show fear. Don't be vulnerable. I mean, I think that's where we locked up a lot of emotions. So I think that's what's keeping a lot of people struggling to really open those heart centers.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. And yet, you know, this whole idea of moving into the Aquarian age, I mean, I think this is where authenticity. Mm-hmm. This is about how do we be our authentic self? How do we be who we were created to be? As we stand in that individuality, and then we're part of this greater human story. I love the idea, the way that you break down each of these fields and then connect the dots. Probably a good a way as any for people to break down and understand that there is different aspects that create a foundation and a form for the universe that we are, what would you say, rising on?
Well, we're made into, like, our chakra system is actually a recreation of the universe. Like, people say the entirety of the universe is inside of you. You know, a lot of mystics will talk about this. But how does that even make any sense? Well, within the system, you can see how it makes sense. The fundamental pattern that laid out the universe is reflected in our consciousness nervous system. You can see the reflection with the pattern. So
once as above, so below.
You start seeing the as below, above, so below, and seeing it so systematically, then you're like, oh, wow. The reflection of the universe really is inside of me, and it makes sense that I could access whatever part of the universe I want with my consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's actually part of our inheritance. But in order to keep us divided, separated, conquered, like half in the field, we're much more easily controlled when we're only accessing half of our consciousness. And we think that other people are the enemy when they're really just the other part of our consciousness that we're not, we've been separated from. And people that know history, and a lot of the women, can feel that this ain't right. This is not supposed to be this way. But collectively, we have to be able to connect, to understand, learn, listen to each other, and actually follow what we know in our true souls, and which I think is going to happen.
Well, I have faith in humanity. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but I do have faith in humanity. I hope that we're able to like hang in there. It's been a rough time. The last while, it's been we've been seeing a lot of the separatism and the divisiveness, and the and so I hope that even that comes up for us to be able to see where we need to bring in more heart.
Yeah, and that's one of the big keys is, you know, if, like you asked me what's the purpose of the book, when I first apprehended and saw the system for myself, I had this feeling like these beings came to me first and said that I was going to make an oracle deck, which I did, and that this would become the foundation for curriculum for the star children of the future. Mm-hmm. And what I saw and what I've always is that the children of the future will not be bound in this three-dimensional box teaching that we're giving them about mathematics and about the history that you just build up to a box and then there's nothing else to do. There's no higher forms to access. They're too complicated. You're not going to study those until you're already disconnected from your heart and your soul. Then you start studying them and there's just such a gap or a miss there where it's supposed to be that everyone, so my goal is that everyone in the future won't have to be bound to this, that we'll all know this seven-dimensional structure is part of our divine inheritance, that we're meant to connect to the universe and to the galaxy and to these higher level forces within ourselves and connect with each other, and our world would be incredible. This is part of the coming of the kingdom of heaven on earth, is this expansion of each one of our consciousnesses into truly who we are.
Well, and I can't help but wonder if there isn't just a continuing, ongoing expansion. Because, well, I guess one of the things that I think keeps us so stuck is we learn something and we never reevaluate. I mean, we learn something and we don't really allow it to change. Whether it's with people, you know, sometimes relationships, or there's just something once we experience it or we learn it, this is the way it is, and we don't really allow for it to be more.
That man hurt me that one time, so all men might hurt me, and I'm scared when I come around men, and that rules.
Yeah, I don't know, or even the ideas of, you know, like the galaxy, or what moves or what doesn't, or does the sun, or do we revolve around, or are we round? I don't know, it just seems like once we take in some learning, we don't make room. I wonder how long it took for some of those Newton ideas to be, you know, how many people said Einstein's just a nut?
Well, Newton's writing in late 1600s. Einstein's writing in the late 18, early 19th. So just over 250 years.
That was our truth.
That went from Newton to Einstein. Then we've only had Einstein's ideas for about 100 years. A little over 100 years. So 100 years, though, we ought to have advanced a little further. But we really haven't as a collective.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, part of the thing is once we accept a truth, we don't allow it to ever morph or expand.
It just becomes stabilized.
Yeah. So, all right. So we're expanding our truth. And I hope as a society we, you know, are able to take in and understand, I don't know, this bigger place that we are, this bigger part of it all that we are.
you know, a lot of people will get real locked into black and white thinking. You know, it's either you're right or I'm right. We can't both be right.
Uh-huh.
So that's, in my, within the system, that's a two-dimensional thinking. There's only two poles, black and white. At the first dimension, there's only one pole, which is I'm right. There's only God, a zealot, one direction. But then second dimension is, well, there's the right people and the wrong people, and that's all there is.
Uh-huh.
There's no other people. You're either right or you're wrong. Third dimension, we're like, well, there's right, wrong, and there's some spectrum in between there. It's not just two poles. There's actually the two poles plus this really interesting gradation. Then if we want to understand a little further than that, there's color, there's vibration, not just that you're over there being black or white or whatever the
mm-hmm.
pole is, but that you're feeling a different way, and that we could account for that in our perspective of each other. But we don't. That we're not taught that. The schools don't. It just feels like everything feels so backwards to me in that way.
We have a lot to learn. A
lot to learn.
A lot of room to grow and expand.
Yes.
You, I've heard you refer to some of this work as the stairway to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Do you have any expansion on that?
Well, if the heavens are laid out into this rainbow pattern, and I've shown in the cards how to do that, and our bodies are also laid out in this rainbow pattern so that we can correlate our different chakras to the different levels of heaven, we start to see that the heavens out there are reflected in here, and that the gateway between the lower separated world of 3D and the higher ascended world of our soul and our spirit is actually all contained in our body. The heavens, the highest heavens, are in our higher chakras. The lowest hells are in our lower chakras. And bridging that through the heart to understand how to open up, come out of the separation consciousness, access my higher gates, and then share that with others.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the road to bliss and part of the road to awakening that allows us to have it, share it, and be a part of a culture where that can happen, where we help each other to do it.
Mm-hmm. We need each other, don't we?
Need each other.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much I think, oh, I've achieved this, you know, enlightened mm-hmm. state on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm going to have some bad feelings. I'm going to have some self-doubt. And we need each other to help lift each other up and keep focused on the truth.
Yes. So, the book. The book is available now on Amazon. It's called The Magic Infinity. When people get the book, are they going to find the breakdown of the whole system? What are they going to find?
They're going to find some information about how to use the book. There's a picture where I've got all the cards in one page so you can see the correlations. And then I break down what's in the deck, which is each card with how to read the card if you're going to do readings, plus a page of explanation about the card.
Uh-huh.
So that there's at least a foundation of every single place within the map has its own entry, has its own oracle meaning, and has its own, just what does this mean relative? Uh-huh. So you can get, if you want to start looking at how those patterns fit together, you can have the book. You could use it as an oracle. I'm like, I'm just curious what the universe has to say about this. So I'm just going to open the book, go to that page, and read the oracle message. Or if I want to understand this bigger seven-dimensional structure, how can I do that? Well, you can use the book to help spell that out for you.
Okay. And then following will be an oracle deck.
Yes, which I've already got ready to go. I'm just waiting for the finalizations on the formatting for the box.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and just from the artwork of what I've seen so far, it's a beautiful deck.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I personally look forward to getting one and really seeing if I can wrap my brain around understanding this system. And I'm curious, once the deck is available, which I understand it'll be out by Christmas, and will that be on Amazon too?
Where yes. I'll have some that I will sell at expos and events like that, and uh-huh. then I'll have a deck that's available on Amazon also.
So people from away from here can order and get it easily or whatever.
Yes.
And then using that deck, for how would you use it as an oracle? Can you talk about that a little bit more?
So in the book and the deck, there's four levels that are with it. Every card has four. It's a reflection, a challenge, a remedy, and a key to superpower.
Will you say this again? Each
card in the book, when you go to look up the card, mm-hmm. it's going to have four entries. Mm-hmm. And these are the four renderings of if you drew the card first compared to if you drew the card third or fourth. So if you draw the card, whatever first one you pick, that's a reflection. So you would read the reflection of that card. If you had the deck, or if you wanted to go further with the book as the oracle, once you read that first reflection, now you'll go to a second card or open it to a new page and read the second entry, which is the challenge. Mm-hmm. So then there will be a third card, and that's the remedy to help you with that challenge. So the order of the cards makes a big difference in what you're drawing. So the book explains how to interpret those cards and what they mean. So you'd start with those basic interpretations that are given, and then a reader is going to get better at understanding the deck and take those initial half paragraph and turn it into a real rendering with what they feel with the other person, to be able to read it like any other deck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just doing straight readings to help people with the problem, or help them, inspire them, or direct their attention to maybe what they might need to look at to help them with this trouble or problem. That's one of the biggest uses of the Oracle deck.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I've used it for an incredibly wide variety of purposes. People come down for a reading, and now we're using it to guide our spaceship. Now we're using it to connect the dots from this hopeless place to this inspired place, and what tangible steps to move and connect these two cards. You can use the map to do that. So there's a lot of exciting ways to use the cards spontaneously and creatively to create conversation. Oh, I drew the father card, and that we're just having it at a party or a light with friends, but the conversation started out so fun, but it really got my challenge was I have these father issues, and my dad's been mean to me lately, and I don't feel right about it. I don't even know how I'm supposed to do it. And this really is a trouble for me. And, oh, yeah, my dad, you know, the way. It's just a wonderful way to open up conversations about deeper connected ideas that might not otherwise come in the same conversation.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the cards encompass so much information. And that, yeah, they'll be able to be used in innumerable ways for insight and guidance and just understanding. And even without the deck, having the book, you can still, you know, kind of access that oracle aspect at the same time that you really are able to just use the book as information, like a way to really understand the greater connection of all of these pieces.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it's really impressive, Grant, you know, that you've put all this material together. And from what I see, it's just such a great, I don't know what word I want, like condensation, or it's a way to like bring some really complicated material, or, you know, hard to fathom kind of mysterious knowledge down into a tangible place where we can understand it and work with it a little bit more.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah.
So any other thoughts that you have as far as like that you want people to get from this book or deck or your work?
Just that it's just been a real source of inspiration. Just been able to light the situation, you know, light up a party, light up a little gathering where people are drawing one card and that's them and their role and what we're going to do together. Or I've just used the cards so often to create inspired, open connection, communication. And suddenly people want to talk about it, but until there's something to see and point to, then you don't even know. It's just an idea, but when you can see and point, oh, look at those two together. They're right there. Now we're going to have we can both see those two ideas right connected close together and what their connection, you know, it opens up new networks in the mind, new patterns and ways to understand their universe and their place in it, which is my goal, is to create a structure, a solid structure for that.
Well, and what has this done for your own life to have put this system together? It just feels like you've really brought together some, again, difficult concepts and bring them into a tangible form. And we're, you know, it sounds like along the way you were even kind of surprised here and there where the pieces started fitting. But how has this been for you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in some ways I was already feeling alienated in the way of feeling like I don't really connect to a lot of what people are doing. I already feel different. So getting even more different, now I've got this whole system that other people don't even know about, and I'm actually using it to change my thinking patterns about how I see the world and connect all these ideas together in a relatively simple way. That was expanding my mind and giving me more access to being able to understand these things and talk about them. But in some ways, now I'm like even further removed from people. They don't know about this system. They don't know that it exists, and I'm already leveling up in a lot of ways because I have access to this spectrum pattern thinking that I want to share with other people. So it helps that feeling of alienation, like to share with you, to share with people, see the real value of it, that now we can be in this expanded state together and it's not alienating me, it's actually connecting us, which is the very thing I was wanting to do. So I forgot the question.
Well, just how this has affected you.
Oh, yeah. So it's given me a feeling, you know, I always wanted to contribute to the bigger human drama or whatever. And this is one of my contributions where I've noticed some patterns and put those patterns together in an interesting way that is just not available. There's no, you can't get everything that's in this deck anywhere else. There's a lot of things in the deck that you could find in a lot of other places, but the way it's put together in the deck can't find anywhere.
Well, and it feels to me like it ties things together, which I think there is a greater web of life that we have not understood. And so this seems to me like it helps me understand or even conceptualize the bigger threads of the connections.
Yes. And then when we feel that excitement and we feel like, oh, we're onto something, we're a part of something, we can access these things. It's not just woo-woo making this up. I got this in mathematics. It's physical layout of the heavens. I've taken the work of great geniuses and put them in an organized place. So people who like to dismiss this sort of thing, they can't dismiss that sort of thing now to me. I have good evidence. They do not. So having that evidence, instead of it being just a feeling, now it's a tangible book with a tangible deck that lays it out so that other people can see it's real.
Yeah, it's not just something out there somewhere separate from us.
Yes.
We're right in the mix.
Right in the mix. You can put it in your hand. You can understand it. It's for everybody that wants to understand these kind of things.
Well, I look forward to ordering the book. I'm going to get my order out today.
Thank you, Kayla.
And if people want to, like, can connect with you, I mean, they can order the book now on Amazon. They can get the deck later on. Watch for that. That'll be hopefully out by the holidays. But if people want to get a hold of you or have questions for you or anything, is there some way that they should? Or
well, I'm starting to do readings now. I'll do virtual readings with the deck. And so people who would like to participate in a reading, a seven-dimensional reading, or use that to connect with me, they can call me or email me and sign up for a reading.
Okay, so what's your email address?
It's Gentry Grant, G-E-N-T-R-Y, Grant@gmail.com.
Okay, Gentry Grant at Gmail. That's simple enough.
Yes.
And doing virtual readings for people.
Yes.
Awesome. Or if people have questions or things that they want to reach out to about you about, that's the way they can do that.
That's the way to do it.
All right. Any other thoughts or questions then? We've been talking for a while. Should we wrap this up? Or, you know,
I'm just so grateful to you. I appreciate you, Kayleen. I appreciate all that you're doing, your enthusiasm, your excitement, your willingness to believe. I will connect together, this great belief, even though I'm scared and I don't know. You know, I think that's what it takes.
I'm intrigued by the mystery.
Yes.
I seek understanding at the same time that I just really want to accept the idea that, I don't know, it's vast.
Yes.
It's bigger than I am right now. I got learning to do, and I'm open. I want people to be open, and I hope that people hear your message even about this fourth dimension heart space. Mm. We need to really open up these heart spaces.
Yes.
And that is what's going to change the world. That, to me, that's the peace. You know, that's what we need to, like, keep the world moving in the direction in a so that we can have this great new world.
Yes.
You know, create a beautiful garden. We're on a beautiful garden.
And I like what you expressed, the feminine voice just not getting fully out there. I feel like that's the feminine voice is rising. The voice of the Divine Mother is coming. There's more ways to hear her than there used to be. It used to be just locked down. I remember when I first God as the mother, it seemed like sacrilegious or something weird. Whereas now, it's just sort of like more people are aware of, like, of course, why wouldn't there be God as mother?
Yeah. Well, and I think when we study nature, a lot of the way things are created, there is two poles. There is the masculine and feminine. And so they need an equal balance or otherwise, things. And I personally feel that we can see that in our world. It's tipped too far.
Yes.
It's tipped too far into masculine hierarchy, you know, drive, motivation, all good things. It's just tipped too far and it's missing a bit of heart. It's missing intuition, creativity, beauty. I mean, it's missing pleasure. Some of those pieces that are super important. So anyway.
Thank you, Kate.
Conversations for another day. Thanks for coming in, Grant. I'm grateful.
Thank you, Kaylee.
All righty. Hey, everybody. Grant and I did this recording last week, and before I went to post it today, I realized that he has put together quite an event here in town next week. So I wanted to jump back on and just kind of let everybody know what's going on with that. Grant has put together, and his friends, he rounded up his friends and is having a metaphysical medicine share. It's next Saturday here in town at the Commons, which the address is 401 East Jefferson Street. The plan is to have vendors through the afternoon. It goes from noon to 6. Grant's going to talk about his book more. He's going to do some readings. He's going to do some book signings. There's a couple other presentations. And there's music. A couple of, it looks like, sound and music presentations. And ending the evening with a music jam. So it sounds like a lot of fun. Again, that's next Saturday, November 30th from noon to 6. I hope y'all can get out there and support Grant and his work. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Memories of a sweet beginning. Oh, honey, won't you please keep